Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have from Virginia, Brother Asher on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I. Yes, Ross Charles. Greetings.
Greetings, my brother. And it's been a while since I've seen you. And you want to let me know, since you've moved to Virginia from Connecticut, because you used to do radio at WPKN, is that correct?
Yes, I. Yeah, for about somewhere between 15, 17 years, I co-hosted and also, you know, at times hosted the Irie Feeling Show at WPKN, yes.
Wow, 15 years, that's, whoa, brother, this is, you know, that's a long time you've been doing that. I didn't know you were doing radio that long. That's...
Yes, yeah, well, I really have to give thanks because, you know, it's really not something that I ever really planned to do.
Uh-huh.
It's just that at a certain time, you know, Jaja said, well, radio is what you're going to do for a while. So, and I really give thanks. It's a listener-supported station, so I always give thanks to the station for the atmosphere of freedom and for the listeners for their continued support over the years.
So it's like free-format radio?
Yeah, you know, it basically works in, you might have 4-hour program slot once a week, you might have a 2-hour, some people might rotate, but the Irie Feeling Show was going for years before I actually was asked to come and join it, and it's still going, you know, even now. I had a couple of people that I trained that, you know, are now still doing that show, so that time slot still has the Irie Feeling Show.
Could you give the listeners, quickly give them the call letters, I mean the, you know, website so they could...
Oh, yeah. It's www.wpkn.org.
Okay, okay.
And it shows that, you know, the Tuesday morning show is from 6 until 10 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. And then there's also one on Wednesday mornings. The slot runs from 6 to 10 a.m. However, usually by 7, you know, things are running good on that show. That's with Ebangu Dama and I Masai.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
So that's some good info. So some people want to listen to some reggae music. That's not far from here either, from Binghamton.
No, true, and you know, it is available, as a lot of stations are these days, on the internet. You could also, you know, if once you get in touch with them, ask them for a program guide, because it, as I said, being a listener sponsored station with over 100 different programmers, some of them only come in once in a while, and some of them on a regular basis, there might be other things of interest. You know?
I see, I see. Okay. Yeah. Now, as far as the music is going down, what has transpired since you got down there? Because I know you've been busy.
Well, yeah, you know, again, my wife Sharon and I, we know, we didn't really, you know, ever plan to leave out and, you know, move into this area, but Sharon's mom is here, and, you know, she was in a situation where she could use, you know, someone living with her, and at the time, it worked, and, you know, it seemed like just saying, this is the right thing to do, and I tell you, I'm really glad that I did make that move, because when I came here, I found, you know, a large community, a very diverse and international community that's in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, you know, that whole area around here, and musically, you know, being close to New York where I was, I have to say that musically there might have been more choices, you know, but I will say that, you know, what is here is good, it's strong, and especially I like the internationality of it, you know, the
all kinds of people.
Mix, all kinds of people, I mean all kinds of people, so in a movement, you know, of a day, you can be doing a lot of different things, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, what I see really is that in this particular time, it seems to I that we really need to focus on, you know, unity in the community, and you know, to each to come together, and you know, even on a larger scale, with the internet and the way that we are able to communicate to all different parts of the world, you know, almost in real time, you know,
right, in fact, in real time,
you know, it opens up a lot of possibilities that may not have been possible 25, 30 years ago.
Well,
for go ahead. No, I was going to say for the music and for, you know, the upliftment of people.
Well, that's an important thing, man. And you know, I find that reggae music is, to me, I don't see too many other kinds of music that does that kind of thing, is that when you go and, you know, of course it depends on the area too sometimes.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you're going to see all kind of people at a reggae show. Whereas some other music, it's limiting, you know, it's like, and then the feeling that I feel from it is like a spiritual upliftment, you know. And you don't even have to be religious, you know.
No, that's true. And I've heard that, you know, I've heard that mentioned by many, many people. And like you said, many people of every different race, every different color, size, shape, you know, just come and leave and say, you know, hey, I feel good. I feel uplifted. That music did something to me. I mean, I heard testimonies. As you know, I was very fortunate to travel on the road with Burning Spear for a couple of years in the mid-90s. And I met so many people and saw so many people that came and loved Burning Spear music and would reason with me about why they loved Spear and why they loved the music. And even Spear himself said, Brother Ashley said, when I looked out, he said, over these years, and I see the diversity of the human family that comes to, you know, to see and to listen and follow in my music, he says, I must be doing something.
You must be doing something right, brother.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you look at some of the other musics, and it's all kind of one people, and it's almost like they want to exclude people. It's like, I don't know if that's on their mind, but I just look out there and I say, now, what could be? What could be is a myriad of all kind of people in all of the crowds.
Yeah, yeah.
But that don't happen, man. And I just say, thank God, thank Jah for reggae music, man, because I know what it has done for me.
Yes, I would add my you know, testimony to that, too, and say, Jah music never fail I yet. You know, it's taken me to so many places and brought me into contact with so many people, you know, even such as the Eye. I remember that day that we went there to for that little press conference with Michael Rose, and
right,
we greeted up, you know, in the back of that
I still got store. That picture. I still got that picture he signed. That yeah, man. It wasn't Chris Wilson there too?
Well, he's possible. He used to make movements with Michael, so
yeah,
he probably was carrying him around.
Man, how long ago was that, brother?
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
Maybe
now
10 years at least.
Oh, I think it's even more than that. Right?
Yeah, man, because, oh, man.
It was in the 80s. I think it might have been in very early 90s.
Yeah, maybe. Early 90s, man. Mm. Man, oh, man. You know, and so how is Sharon? Sharon's...
Yes, give thanks. Sharon,
yes,
Sharon.
Man.
Well, she accompanied me. We went to a club, and I tell you, it was real, you know, dance hall, but big people dance hall style, you know. It was Alton Ellis.
Oh, and, you told me about
that. And it was a sound system, and the show, you know, Alton didn't take the stage till like 2 in the morning, so.
2 in the morning,
you know,
oh, God.
Yeah, it was a real, you know.
I know. Yachty style.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now tell me.
But, you know, Alton's a veteran, and he's really... You know, as we were reasoning, Alton and I, you know, a day before when he was here, and he really spans like 3 generations of the music, at least right now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, how long is he here for, man?
Well, he's you know, he came from, he's spending some time in Jamaica right now. He was there for Heineken Star Time. He came forward to here. He had been here once before, last fall, for a birthday party, and... It had had some success, so the people in the club where that was held decided they wanted to have him come back. And, you know, he was reasoning. He said he's got something in Florida. And then, you know, just like a 1-2 here and there, he said, mostly right now, and quite a lot in Europe. He also spends time in England, so he'll be in Jamaica now for, you know, maybe a month or two, and then he'll go to England and spend some time in England.
Well, because I surely would like to link up with him. And remember that CD he was going to... hell for me, and it was a matter of timing, and I didn't get
it. Well, I asked him if he had carried any with him, and he said, you know how things go when you come out of Jamaica and back to Jamaica and carry CDs or, you know, products and stuff. It, you know, sometimes it can be more trouble than it's worth.
True.
So he didn't really, but, yeah, I'll give you a way to get in touch with him, and, you know, you can get that.
That sounds good, man, because, you know, I know that he's one of my favorite singers, man, you know, mm-hmm. from that time, man.
You know, members of Bamboo Station, Jalani, Horton, you know.
Right, right.
Founding member and you know, mostly lead vocalist. Andy on drums, who's also a fine musician and fine composer and has tracks on the Talkin' Roots, you know, as you know,
right,
the Talkin'
right.
Roots. You know, and I just did a 75-minute interview. I haven't really edited it yet or got it together, but I just did a 75-minute interview with Jelani,
mm-hmm.
and he in which he tells the story of Bamboo Station, and also with Liz Janos of Mount Nebo Records and Andy, her brother. So between the three of them, we got about 75 minutes on.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been trying to. I know they've been busy, and I've been trying to reach Jelani. But I know they've been busy.
Yeah, they're on tour. They're you know, doing a thing now, and then they begin in a couple of days. They begin what's called the Talkin' Roots 2 tour, and that's going to. They were in Israel actually before they headed out west to Sierra Nevada.
This is what I hear.
I read some good reviews from Sierra Nevada about the show, and also they were joined there by Pressure and Army. And I think Batch, you know, a lot of
Iba's not traveling with them. This
Iba will now. Iba is now joining them along with Ija Menelik.
Oh,
and,
great!
And even some other artists. They'll be, you know, they'll be doing, as I said, the Talkin' Roots U.S. tour, West Coast leg of the U.S. tour.
So, it's mainly the core nucleus of the band, and then all the other singers that come.
Yeah, well, the core nucleus would be. Jelani, would be Andy, would be Tough Lion. I can't say
right.
enough about Tough Lion. You know?
Tough and Lion is this woman's friend too. He's
yeah.
very
no tough. What Tough Lion is you could compare him almost to like Chinna in the Jamaican music scene. You know where he's there, he's involved in almost everything, adding a strength to the works, but you don't really see his name up front. But now I want to tell the people watch because Tough Lion has an album that is just right now. In its completing stages, and there's another one from an artist called Black Culture
okay.
out of the Richmond, Virginia area that'll be coming also. And Army has a new release right now
I
that's
got
available
that.
On
wicked.
iGrade
it's
called
wicked.
Rasta Awake.
Wicked, man.
Yes. So I mean, there's something. I reasoned with Army, and here's how Army said it. He said that you can't think that these seeds. That went forth from Jamaica within the music in the 70s and stuff wouldn't find some fertile ground, you know, to take root in. And at this time now, we're seeing some of the fruits of that, you know?
Right, right.
So, I mean, and I'm also kind of really excited about the different ways in which I see the music expressing itself and the different generations. Because now, just in the last couple of weeks, I've heard music from Toots's son. I've heard music from Jimmy Riley's son, Taurus Riley. I just heard something today from Gregory Isaac's son. And, I mean, come
yes,
on.
Man. Yes, man. They're all doing it, man. You
yeah.
know, and Toots
and
got more than one son that can sing, you know.
That's right.
You know.
And something else I'd like to share with the audience. I had the great opportunity to travel with, you know, Dr. Dredd from Ross Records up, and we spent a couple hours with Spear up in New York City as he was finishing up his recent album that he just finished recording, and it'll be released, I'd say, sometime in the fall.
With Horsemouth. Horsemouth is on that, right?
Yeah, boy, I tell you, I can't even list the musicians now, and Barry O'Hare was there as engineer, and I heard about a half a dozen tracks, and they're really great and very rootsy, you know, foundation, and they really get a nice sound out of this studio down in Soho. And the album should be called Our Music. I think that's what it's going to be called. And then the single, they're doing a DVD. They're leaving for Jamaica to do a DVD, and the single is called Walk. So you can watch for that single and look for that video. And, you know, we'll see. I'm sure there'll be some pre-releases, and I'll make sure that, you know, you get one so you can share that with
okay.
the listening
okay.
audience.
Sounds yeah. good, man. Sounds good. See, you in that area, brother. See, I know if I was down in that area, I'd be knocking on those doors. same doors, man.
I'm sure you would be. You know,
I'm going to get down there, though, Asher. I'm coming
yeah,
your way.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Besides this trip to North Carolina, I'm coming your way, man. Steady and I have to do that, you know. And it's important, man, that the people that's connected and spreading the music maintain that, and you know, each one help one, and you know, and sharing. That's key, man. And I know what you want, brother, because I have it cocked in my CD burner at home. I'm not going to tell anybody, but we know what you want.
Well, you know, as you were stressing, it is the time for, you know, for unity at this time and for us to work together. And I had a thought, you know, while I was kind of preparing myself for the possible call, and it seemed that it's the time now. It's time to do our best, not be the best, you know, because a lot of times, you know, you want to be the best, but if we do our best, you know, it says Jah will do the rest. So I think it's time we try it, just do our best.
Just,
you know,
do the best we can do. You know, that's the only thing I think we can do, and Jah's not going to let us bear more than we can bear.
True.
And I think when I had that four-month-old little girl, that my daughter, and mm-hmm. and I said, what do I do? The only answer was, do the best I could.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, 30 years now later, you know, I can say, wow. That's all anyone can ask anybody to do is do the best.
Yeah,
job.
I don't think you can really go wrong if you do your best.
Mm-mm. No way. Well, listen, do you think, is there anything else you would like to share with the audience, Asher, before we get into some more music?
There's one thing that two things, and I'll try to do this as briefly as possible.
Well, no, just take your time. Just express it, brother. Express it.
Well, there's a couple things in the works here that I think would be of interest to, you know, to the listeners. And one of them is that the Smithsonian Institute, through the direction and foresight of brother Dr. Jake Homiak, they're planning to do a Rastafari exhibition, which will be, it's going to be in the Focus Gallery in the African Voices Hall. And it was, the idea was birthed in 2004, and they formed, you know, groups and began to do this. And it's slated now to open 2006, probably sometime in May of 2006. Exact date,
mm-hmm.
you know, has been set yet. And it will, the major messages are Rastafari embrace His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie as the central figure of the movement. So the first area in which it'll focus is on His Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie himself. The next will be, since its beginning, the Rastafari movement has struggled for equality, self-determination, and validation of its African heritage. So mm-hmm. that's another area.
Can you send me some?
I could send you that.
Okay.
Rastafari has a sacred way of life focused on creating the moral order through everyday choices we as individuals face in life. Emphasis on repatriation to Africa as one of the central goals of the movement. And then the music, and the part the music and the message within the music played in the spreading of the Rastafari movement around the world. And, you know, that's both had positive and negative effects.
True.
Yeah, but this is going to stress the positive, you know? And again,
because Ross Sam Brown talks about that. The late Sam Brown talked about this. He said, reggae music? What do you mean, reggae music? He said, all kind of thing can hide in reggae music. But the Naya Bingi, they say, make you feel free, make all the wicked flee. You know, I got him on, he was talking on WBAI about that, how people can, you know, misinterpret a lot of times the reggae music and automatically associate that with Rasta when some of the stuff.
No, you can't do that. Nothing anymore can be automatically associated.
Right.
See, now, because what's happened now is we have already the commercialization of Rastafari. We have, you know, wolf in sheep clothing and all kind of style and this and that and paraphernalia and, you know,
serious.
All kind of hearsay this, hearsay that. So I don't think in this particular time you can really truly identify Rastafari by, you know, any one of those kind of things.
I think
we have to look at the levity.
True.
Yeah.
and the actions and the actions.
Yeah. Yes, not just, not, you know, not. And now one other before we take our leave here, there has been formed an organization called JRDC, Jamaican Rastafari Development Committee, and its focus is on Shashamani, which is the community in Ethiopia. In the 30s, when Italy invaded Ethiopia, black people and people of color all over the world rallied around Haile Selassie and Ethiopia and their struggle against an invading European army, because now remember, Ethiopia was really an unconquered, one of the few remaining, you know, unconquered places in Africa. And Italy had attempted that before in the 1800s, and Menelik, you know, drove them out, and they suffered a wicked defeat, you know. And so now it was tried again. Now, as a thanks, His Majesty offered land for any people within, you know, the West, or those people that would like to come and settle there, mm-hmm. and help him with his plan, you know, for the establishment of modern Ethiopia.
Right.
So now, you know, over the years, the Rastafari community and the different mansions, you know, 12 Tribe, Nyabingi, Bobo, Ashanti, has sent people there and their representatives there from the major houses, including the Ethiopian World Federation. And they now, at this time, have agreed that must really work together. If anything's going to be done, or any way in which Rastafari community is going to address the Ethiopian government, it should really be as a unified voice, not as, well, this one goes and says this, and this one says this.
Yeah, because there was a schism between...
Nothing's going to work that way.
No way.
It never has, and it never will. So what's happened is each of the houses have kind of taken different tasks, you know, so the couple of brothers here, Brother Roy and Brother Carl, formed the fundraising for the Jamaican Rastafarian Development Community School, which is in Shashamani, and just on their own behalf, started this a few years back, managed to bring it to a certain place, then started to acquire the interest of others, and right now it's grown to where there are, you know, many classrooms. Not only does it educate the community children of the Rastafari community, but also of the surrounding Ethiopian community.
See, because, that's important. That's important.
Yeah, their school, the only school in the area, was closed. So, see how Jah works. This is the only choice they have. So, and the brothers and sisters have opened it up, and it's growing and growing. But it needs support from people who can identify with this and who...
See, Asher, excuse me for cutting up, but that is very important, because, see, the mistake that happened in Liberia was that the people from here came, you remember, and misplaced and displaced the indigenous people there, and there was never any calm there from that time that the freed slaves from here went over there and said, okay, we're back home now. So therefore, you have to take into consideration the indigenous people that's already there. And they are like, they have to be like one, man.
Of course, because, see, basically, we're all indigenous people in our roots, you see. Mm-hmm. So when we, if we, even as Rastafari, if we were to go to Africa or to Ethiopia, and think, okay, His Majesty give I and I this land, and now we're going to go and I'm going to hook up my split, you know, and come on, you can't do that.
No way.
You cannot do that. And I'll tell you, Brother Desai, who went to Ethiopia, to Shashamani from Jamaica 29 years ago, came to the United States for the first time, and a couple weeks ago I spent a couple of days with him. And, you know, he said the same thing. He said, what has gotten the community and the people the furthest is the humbleness, the willingness to love thy neighbor as thyself, and for them to see that no matter who you say your God is, you really truthfully love God with all of your being, and you know, you do your best to live up to that, you know. So, you know, that's the thing. He said that's gone further. And he said the one thing too is you don't try to step over a next man. It's like if you think you have a problem, you want to address it, go to your local government first. Don't try to go to the, you know, the big government.
Right.
And step over that man, because that's embarrassing, you know?
It really
you know,
is.
That band, yeah, man, and that's your, come on. So, you know, there's a lot for all of us to learn, and you know, if we're willing to learn, I think that, you know, what we need to learn is there, and it's just up to us now to say, okay, we're here, we're willing to learn, you know, let's get forward with this work.
Because peace is and love and justice is the key, brother, you know.
Yes, you're right.
Go ahead, man.
Well, I don't think we could find a better example of that than in the life of His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie, you know, as far as forgiveness, as far as justice, as far as peace, and as far as working, you know, in a positive way.
Oh,
and really,
yeah.
Working
oh,
towards
what he those what he could have done to those Italians? You know, I don't think people know all of that history, man. You know,
I know they don't, because I was told by young Ethiopians. They told me that, you see, basically this is from 1974 now, when that communist revolution happened. So, and you know, in Africa, it's not so much an old people's country; it's a young people's country. You know,
right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You know. If you're 30 years old in Africa, you're like a big person, you know? You know what I'm saying? You have a lot more responsibilities, I think, at younger ages and things, you know? So, you know, but what this youth was saying was that most people there, they don't really know the history. They don't know anything about it. And there's been a lot of negative, because of the communist government and because of, you know, what their plan was, there's been a lot of negative information put out about His Majesty and about how things were run in Ethiopia and the way things were going and the works that His Majesty did both for Ethiopia and for Africa through the OAU. So that needs all to be, you know, brought to light and the truth of that shown. And I'm reading a book right now by an Ethiopian called The Betrayal of Ethiopia, in which he addresses these issues and explains how this basically has happened by certain groups, you know, within, you know, the Western world. You know, because it wasn't to their advantage to see things in that particular way.
Well,
you know?
Divide and conquer is how they're going to maintain it anyway, man. So,
yeah, because His Majesty was for the unification of Africa and for collective security. And, you know, okay, maybe if you accept some help or you accept some aid from someone, there's no strings attached. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah,
so,
man. Yeah,
I mean, yeah. And human rights. I don't see anyone who stood up and is standing up in this time for, you know, human rights more so than
Well, we see what's happening right here with this country. So, you know, human mm-hmm. rights. I mean, that gets thrown out the window, bro.
Well, we see what those results bring too, because now, you know, every day in the news, what do we see? Body bags. You know, we see more and more people getting killed, both in the military and other civilians and stuff. And we can see every action brings certain reactions. So, I mean, it's not that difficult, but there's a lot of times people will set up smoke screens to confuse you and get you thinking about and arguing about this thing and that thing, so you don't really, you know, kind of see what's going on, you know?
Right under your feet, notes.
Yeah, yeah, and in your name.
And true. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Because you think
oh,
any of this could happen? Could happen?
Yeah.
If the people said, wait a minute, no, you know, it would happen. So,
I mean,
you know.
Just think about, you know, what you're saying is so true. I mean, just think about the elderly people that voted for Mr. Bush when he was doing stuff in their name, really, but it was against their interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like, but we don't want to talk about judges.
No, we can't. We can't really get into this politics stuff today you know, it's just I don't think we really need to go there.
And the music does enough.
The music does it. Yes, I don't want to get into this. I just want to praise John, give thanks that I saw another day, you know, and give thanks and pray that I see another one, you know.
Indeed, my brother. And listen, I definitely have to come down there to check you out, brother.
All right. Well, you're welcome anytime. And I, you know, I give thanks for being able to, you know, say these few words. And always, I say when I, you know, I ask that the meditations of my heart, you know, and the words of my mouth are always acceptable in the sight of the Most High, Jah.
Rastafari. Yes,
give thanks, Ross Charles.